Galatians chapter 5. We'll continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I know we have a lot of people who are working in the VBS. They're going to miss the message tonight, and I hope maybe they might go back and listen to it on the internet. And so we're going to continue. We'll finish up next Wednesday night, Lord willing. We'll do meekness and temperance next week. And so that will be our ninth message next week, okay? So tonight is number 8. Tonight is faith. And the title would be faith equals faithfulness. Faithfulness. So tonight we're going to speak about being faithful. Faithful, all right? Look at Galatians chapter 5. And we're not going to do a lot of review tonight. So remember chapter 5, verse 16 is a command from the Lord that we walk in the Spirit. Paul speaking there. And the next verse 17, there's a conflict. The flesh against the Spirit. And then verses 19 and 20 and 21, it gives you lists the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the flesh. And then verses 22 and 23, we have the fruit of the Spirit. So if the flesh is winning, you see the results are the fruit of the flesh. If the Spirit is winning and the Spirit is being victorious, you will have characterized in your life the fruit of the Spirit. So let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray again tonight that we would see very clearly this particular part of the fruit of the Spirit. And God, that we would yearn to have it in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. The fruit of the Spirit of faith. Faith. And here we think of faithfulness. We live in an age of unfaithfulness, a lack of loyalty. And we live in an age where marriages and jobs, and it just all seems to be there's a lack of commitment, a lack of faithfulness. And so we think about here in Galatians uses faith in three different contexts. The book of Galatians does. In chapters 1, it speaks of the faith. In chapters 3, it speaks of the faith of salvation. And here, it's speaking of the faithfulness in doing our Christian duties. And so here, it's speaking of faithfulness. And we'll describe for that more as we go along. Faith produces faithfulness. So you say, well, why didn't you just say faithfulness? Well, faith produces faithfulness. And they are similar. And the Greek word here is very important, speaking of being faithful. The fruit of the Spirit are the virtue here that we as Christians, if we are walking in the Spirit, the virtue that will be evident in our life, the fruit that will be evident in our life is faithfulness. Let's back up now. If we are walking in the Spirit, as verse 16 says we should, then these are the virtues, these are the characteristics that will be evident in our life. This is the fruit that is produced by walking in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. And so tonight we want to see that. We think about faithfulness. Again, today a lack of faithfulness. I think about William Carey, the first, not the first missionary, but the first modern-day missionary who went to Burma and had one convert in the first 7 years. In fact, it was 7 years before he had his first convert. But he just stayed. He was faithful. He came back. He was responsible for writing much of the Burmese language and just all sorts of things that he did. It was amazing, amazing missionary. But because he was faithful, he was a faithful servant. As a child of God, we ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful no matter what's going on, no matter our job, no matter our service for the Lord, we ought to be faithful. No matter whether we're noticed or we're not noticed, no matter whether we get a pat on the back or we don't get a pat on the back, we ought to be faithful. Amen? Everybody alive? I have to hurry because we have like 29 minutes. So, all right, ready? Faithfulness. As a child of God, we ought to be faithful. Webster's Dictionary defines this word as steadfast in the faith, loyal, accurate, true to the original. We ought to be steadfast in the faith. One author said this. He said, faith here, speaking of this faith, it speaks of loyalty and trustworthiness. And there's a whole bunch of scriptures that we could turn. We'll turn to a few of them here in a minute. Faithfulness is only possible because of faith, our trusting response to God in Jesus Christ. If you think about this particular faith, it's the faith of a little child in his parents. It's a child who trusts herself to her mother or father, puts herself without worry or concern into their care. It's like having a three-year-old, and that three-year-old's into your care, and they have no concerns, no worries. Right? They shouldn't, and they don't. Sounds appealing, doesn't it? Faithfulness. Being faithful. Faithfulness. All right, so we think about being faithful. We ought to be faithful to God. Our faith in God, our God's faithfulness. Faithful in God's faithfulness. By the way, God is faithful. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. God is faithful. And then Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He's faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He's trustworthy. He's loyal. He's faithful. As we think about that, and we are reminded that God is our example. He is faithful, and we are here to see that the fruit of, again, walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. God is our example. Think about it this way, as a dad teaches his children or a mother teaches her children certain aspects of life. I think about learning how to tie a knot for fishing and teaching my boys. Again, my wife learned it first, actually. I always accredit her with that, but learning how to tie a polymer knot and then teaching Caleb how to tie a polymer knot and then teaching Joshua how to tie a polymer knot. And Micah, I think, has finally learned, maybe. But we're teaching them to do it. We're teaching them, whether it's teaching a child to weld. I was thinking about Brother Terry and his son who passed away. And Brother Terry had taught his young son, you know, son how to weld. And just the day of Nick passed away, he got a welding job that morning. And he was going to go from painting fences to welding. And, teaching our children and them following us and following our example. I thought this is pretty awesome. And if you've never read some of these missionaries, William Carey is a great missionary. We did a study. Remember, one of our missionaries in the Hall of Fame here is Ardnam Judson. Both of those men, William Carey and Ardnam Judson, both had very difficult times on the mission field. Didn't see results for years and years, and all of a sudden, God blessed like you would never believe. And they had far-reaching ministries. Another missionary who went to Africa, his name is Robert Moffat. If you ever get a chance, you ought to read his biography. And Robert Moffat was led to the Lord by an elderly pastor in Scotland. And in that year, the elderly pastor was approached by his congregation, a small congregation, and they were concerned that their congregation had only baptized one boy that year. And they came to the pastor and said, Pastor, what are we going to do about this? We've only seen one person get saved. It's a little boy. And they were concerned about it. They chided him even and seemingly got on to him about it. Well, that one boy ended up being Robert Moffat. And Robert Moffat turned Africa upside down, as David Livingstone and some others did. And in fact, Robert Moffat's daughter was David Livingstone's wife. And so it's just amazing. I know some of you hadn't read it. I tell you, if you are a reader, even if you're not a reader, some of the best books you'll ever experience is biographies. And so in my reading, normally I'll read three or four other books, but then I'll always stick a biography in about every third or fourth book. And because it's inspiring to hear how God used these great men. And so Robert Moffat, one boy got saved that entire year, but that one boy turned out to be Robert Moffat. That's amazing. Why? Because of that elderly pastor's faithfulness. He just kept serving. Because our faith in God's faithfulness, we can be faithful in word and deed and reliable disciples. 1 Thessalonians 2:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy. God is faithful. He always keeps his word. His word is true and faithful. Psalm 119, 89. His word is true and faithful. It endures forever. We think about this two things. God is faithful, and therefore he is faithful in our times of trials and temptations. I know we don't like to hear this verse, but it's a great verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I'm amazed again at how many times I counsel with people, and they think they're the only one who ever had that problem. They think they're the only one who's ever been that through that trial or that particular, and it's amazing how all trials are common to all mankind. And what you think may be a unique trial, some of your fellow Christians have gone through that same trial. So that's what he's saying here. He says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God is faithful. He's not going to put you through something or allow you to go through something that you are not able to bear it. That's what the verse says. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Right? And so God is faithful. And so God will never put you. God's always got his hand on the thermostat. It may get really, really hot, but God always has his hand on the thermostat. He's never late. He's never early. God is always right on time. And it's hard for us to think of that and to remember that in times of difficulty. But God is faithful. He's always faithful. He's our example. He's faithful in times of trials and temptations. He's faithful to forgive us. I'm thankful for that. We've gone over this here lately. But 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive us of our sins. And again, 1 John 1:9, referring to those who profess to be Christians. I'm thankful as a Christian, as a born-again believer, as a child of God, that God forgives me and that he's faithful to forgive me. He's faithful to forgive me. I can trust him that he will forgive me. When the devil whispers in my ear, God will never forgive you. God will never forgive you again. We just reminded the verse, 1 John 1:9. God is faithful who will forgive us. He'll forgive us every time. What a blessed promise. So God is our example, our faithfulness to follow in his steps. And then secondly, we must be faithful to God. We must be faithful to God. I pulled this out of a commentary. It says this. It says faith. The word here, speaking of this word faith in Galatians 5:22. Faith, the word means faithfulness and signifies the abandonment of self and complete confidence in God. Faith believeth all things, the Bible says, that are of God and knows that all things work together for good to those who love him. To doubt the providence of God at any time is the work of the flesh. Notice that again. To doubt the providence of God at any time is a work of the flesh. When we doubt God's faithfulness, it's the work of the flesh. The Christian grace of faithfulness needs to be cultivated in our lives. We surrender too easily. Some Christians pledge themselves enthusiastically to do service for God, but alas, their faithfulness is short-lived. Some affiliate themselves with the local church and show a degree of consistency for a while, but soon yield to the flesh instead of the Holy Spirit. Consider the apostles and high priests of our profession. The Bible says in Hebrews 3, 1 and 2, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Jesus is faithful to the Father. Then heed the word of the Spirit of God. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, 2. It's required of us. We are stewards. We're to be faithful with what God has given us. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We ought to be faithful to God. We ought to be faithful in our service to him. We ought to be faithful in our stewardship to him. I'm going to turn over there. You can if you want. Luke chapter 16. We need to be faithful. Faithful to God. He is faithful. We ought to be faithful to him. Faithful in our service. Moreover, it's required of a steward that he be found faithful. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. And most of you know the verse. But we ought to be faithful in the little things. And the Bible makes it clear. And we're going to read another verse in Matthew 25. It speaks of this again. If we'll be faithful in the little things, God will bless us with the big things. Be faithful in the small stuff. We ought to be faithful in our service, faithful in our stewardship to the Lord, what God has given us, faithful in our obedience to the Word of God, faithful to the gospel and spreading the gospel around the world. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful in our church attendance, and I'm preaching to the choir tonight, I know, but we ought to be faithful to the Lord. God was faithful. God is faithful, and we ought to be faithful to Him. We ought to be faithful to mankind. We ought to be faithful to those around us. Faithful, trustworthy, loyal. We ought to be faithful to God, faithful to our fellow man. In other words, we ought to be true, speak truth in our words. We ought to be just in our actions. There ought to be a steadfastness in our life. Speak about being on time and hardworking. People ought to find us faithful. It ought to be our testimony that we are faithful and all of life requires of us. In other words, we ought to be faithful at work. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do it, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." Do all things. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord. That means at work, when you're at work, we're doing that for the Lord. It says work as if you're working for the Lord. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Is that what it says? You can look it up later. Colossians 3:23. That means that we ought to have work ethic. And that we ought to give, we ought to work the time that we're supposed to work and work hard for those whom we work for. It means the those who employ ought to be honest and so forth with those who work under them and be faithful. We ought to be faithful at work. We ought to be faithful at home. Ephesians 5:25, 26. I'm not going to go over all those again, but husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. We ought to love each other. We ought to be faithful at home. Spirit-filled man is one who is faithful to their wives and family. Right? Faithful to their wives and family. Sometimes life gets a little hard, doesn't it? Trials come and tests come. And I was reading in the lesson plan today. It said, gave the illustration of two frogs. Two frogs fell off into a pan of cream. One frog gave up and just sunk to the bottom and died. The other frog kept treading, made butter, and got on top of the butter and jumped out of the pan. Right? Sometimes we just got to keep treading. I like that. It's a good illustration. Just got to keep treading. Just got to keep going. William Carey, again, is one of those who had a testimony, and I use that a lot. I've used it for my testimony that William Carey, the great missionary, he said at the end of his life, he was about to die, and he told his son, he said, "If they put anything on my gravestone, let them put on my gravestone that I was a plodder." By that, he's talking about horses, how they just plod, just how they keep on going. He said, that's what my life should be characterized. I just kept going. There's an illustration given. I read about Christopher Columbus. And all throughout Christopher Columbus' journals, there are sections, whole days where he said, and I'm going to make sure I get exactly what he said here. It said, "Today we sailed on." That's all it said. "Today we sailed on." And there are, in his journals, there's just periodic times where it says, "Today we sailed on." And that's what we ought to do in life. We ought to be faithful to work and faithful in our home. And sometimes when it's tough, when it's hard, we just keep going. Keep plodding. Keep trucking is what I use too a lot. Just keep trucking. I don't know. I told Brother Gilbert that the other day and he made fun of me. But keep trucking. Just keep going. Keep going. Because what's going to happen is God, if you're faithful, when you're faithful, God's going to be faithful to you. Listen now closely. You keep treading. You keep going. You keep sailing. Not all days are going to be great victories. But you keep sailing. You keep treading. And God will be faithful to you. Keep treading. Keep going. And God will be faithful to you. You be faithful in your home. You be faithful at work. You be faithful to God. And God absolutely will be faithful to you. God has called us to be faithful. And where He leads, He feeds. He will enable you to be faithful. He will empower you to be faithful. God has called us to be faithful. Christians are not called to be successful. They are called to be faithful. I'm out of time. I'm not going to turn over there, but in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 21, talks about the talents. Some talent was given to one, some talent was given to another, one was given one talent, one was given five talents, one was given 10 talents. By the way, we all have different talents. The one with 10 talents duplicated his talents. The one with 5 duplicated his talents. The one with 1 talent hid his talent. And when the owner came back, when the landlord came back, he blessed the guy with 10, he blessed the guy with 5, but he cursed the guy who hid his and gave that to one of the others. The point is this. He said to each one of those, the 10-talent guy, the 5-talent guy, well done, thou good and faithful servant. No matter what talent, no matter what gifts God has given you, be faithful in what God has given you. It's not about whether you're successful or not in man's eyes. It's whether or not you're faithful. Be faithful. I say all that to say this. I love this quote. Unequal gifts, if used with equal faithfulness, will be equally rewarded. That's awesome. I didn't come up with that, but it's awesome. Let me read it again. Unequal gifts, if used with equal faithfulness, will be equally rewarded. So it's not about whether or not you're doing more than the guy next to you or the lady next to you. It's whether or not you're faithful with God gives you. Are you being faithful? Are you being faithful in your home? Are you being faithful at work? Are you being faithful to the Lord in your service and so forth? See, God has called us to play the game. He hasn't called us to keep score. I don't like it with these little league places where they don't keep score. Everybody does anyway. And I think at the age of 4 and 5, you ought to be teaching these kids from the very beginning score and who wins and who loses and how to be a good loser and all those things. I'm totally, totally against this new. It's really not new. It's been around since I was a kid. You don't think them little kindergartners are keeping score? You're crazy. Most of them know who won the game. But the thing is, in the Christian life, it's not about who wins. It's not about who. I'm sorry. It's not about we're here to play the game. We're not here to keep the score, because God has just asked us to be faithful. God has asked us just to keep going. Do not let not being able to do better keep you from doing what you can. You do what you can with God, what God has given you. Again, our goal in life is to get to heaven and God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? Faithfulness, faithful to God. He's been faithful to you. Faithfulness at home, faithfulness in work, faithfulness in service. Just be faithful. I don't know what you may be going through tonight or what trial, or maybe you're not going through a testing tonight. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Keep on keeping on. Because if you'll keep on keeping on, keep being faithful, God will be faithful to you every time. All right, let's all stand. We have a short verse invitation. I know we're going to have the other group coming in. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight again for your love. And God, help us, enable us by your Holy Spirit. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to be faithful. To be faithful to you in our stewardship, in our service for you, in our faithfulness to church. Lord, help us to be faithful to our homes and at work, and Lord, that we might be a good testimony to those around us. Lord, may we have the testimony that we were faithful. We'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name.